Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're looking at the significance of God providing a covering for the very first sin ever committed. So let's turn to Genesis 3, verse 20, as we go back to basics.
This, of course, is one of the tragedies of sin. Sin separates us from fellowship with God. Sin alters that fellowship. Sin puts us at a distance from the Lord. Like the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah, you remember he said, "My ear is not heavy that I cannot hear you. My arm is not short that I cannot save you. But your sins have separated you from your God." And this is what sin does. Sin separates. And so that beautiful relationship that was once experienced by Adam and Eve is no longer their experience. And they're expelled from the garden, and man is now subjected to the cruelty of a cursed creation. I don't even think that we could grasp the magnitude of all that happened there on that day. But we might have had little taste of it here and there, because although the situations vary, sin essentially does the same thing. How many relationships have been ruined over sin? I was just talking to Cheryl tonight, and she was telling me about a friend of ours, and she said, "I got some really sad news." And then she proceeded to tell me about a friend that we know who's been married for a few years, and you know, it all seems so wonderful, and Prince Charming has come along, and the man of her dreams, and all of these kinds of things, and everybody's excited about it, and it just seems so good, and you know, seem to love the Lord and be in the ministry and all of that. And then, you know, you find out that it's all a big facade. It's not real. And there's infidelity and there's mistreatment and all of these things. And, you know, you think of the heartbreaking situations that we encounter in this world because of sin. You think of those children, perhaps, that you raised, that you bounced on your knee, that you cuddled, and then they grow up and become teenagers and rebel against the Lord and against you. And this person that you could have never dreamed of any experience like this. You could have never imagined that they would go in this direction. And, you know, there you are sitting face to face with them, and your heart is being ripped out of your chest, and you're just, you know, looking at them and thinking, "Oh, God, have mercy." You know, this is the reality of sin. Of course, the enemy and those who serve him are always, you know, painting a different picture, aren't they? Sin, that's where all the fun is. And we see it all around us. We see it in, of course, the advertising. We see it in the movies and the TV programs, and we hear about it in the music. And, you know, it's all this idea that, you know, there's so much fun to be had. There's so much excitement to be enjoyed. And, you know, basically it's just a big invitation to come and just engage in indulging your flesh and all that. Everything that the Bible would refer to as sin. The world is calling out saying, come on, be part of this. This is wonderful. This is great. And it looks so good on the outside. But it's a very thin veneer. And it doesn't take too long before you begin to find out that, just as the Bible says, sin brings forth death. And it brings forth death in relationships. And it breaks relationships that should have stayed together. It breaks those relationships up. And ultimately, as we're reading here, it breaks the relationship between man and his maker, God, the one who loves us, and leaves us ultimately in a state of misery. And so that's where they were at. But there is a bright light here at the end of this story of the fall. And the bright light is what is stated in verse 21. And it's interesting, it just, you know, you just can, could perhaps just sort of read over it and not really grasp the significance of the statement. But this is the silver lining in the whole picture, in the whole tragic picture. Here's the silver lining. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and he clothed them. Now, remember, back in verse 7, perhaps you remember reading there, that after they had sinned and they realized that they were naked and they felt ashamed, remember what they did? It says that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 21 is God's response to that. See, those two verses are connected. So man, as he has sinned, he's come to the realization that something has changed, something is radically different. He feels ashamed. He feels naked. He is naked. The man and the woman, they're naked, and they suddenly know that they're naked. And it's not, I don't think it was just the physical nakedness. That was sort of the outworking of it all, but there was something deeper beyond that. There was just that whole sense of something had been radically altered in their relationship with God. And in a feeble attempt to reverse that, they sew fig leaves together and they make themselves a covering. But God, he covers them himself. And we read that God made tunics of skin and he clothed them. Now, here's the thing. Tunics of skin imply death. They imply the death of an animal. Now, think about this. Up to this point, now remember what God had said. He had said to Adam, you remember, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. But think about it. They have partaken of the fruit. God has pronounced the judgments. But up until this point, no one has died. No one has died, at least from the sense that they could visually observe it. Now, they must have expected death as an immediate penalty for their sin. I would think that that would have been what was in their minds. And so when God came to them in the garden, they must have thought, this is it. It's just as God said. We're going to die. But they didn't die. In fact, not even the serpent died. Not even the serpent died. Up until this point, there had been no death at all. And now, the death that does occur is not their death. Now, of course, they deserve to die. But the death that occurs is the death of innocent animals. Undoubtedly lambs. And the one who killed those animals was God. Now, I would imagine, and that's all you can do, I guess, is imagine. But I would imagine that this would have been so sobering to the man and the woman. For now they're beginning to realize, remember, they had been told by Satan, they had been duped by Satan into thinking that the tree was beneficial and God was withholding something from them, that there was a good thing that God was trying to keep back from them. And they bought into that deception. And now we find that they're beginning to see the repercussions, the ramifications of their action. And although it certainly is affecting them immediately, it's also affecting everything around them. You know, sometimes people say, in regard to sin, they say, well, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody else. It's just my thing. You shouldn't try to prohibit me from doing this or living this way. I'm not harming anyone else. There's not a single case in all of the world, in all of history, where sin didn't harm anyone else. The nature of sin is harmful. And it always harms somebody. But it always harms more than, you know, just the individual. The individual might think, well, hey, you know, it's my body, it's my life, it's, you know, what does it matter? I'm not hurting anybody else by doing this. Well, what about the people that love you? You're hurting them. See, you might think that you're independent of everybody else and you're just doing this thing, and why should anybody else be affected by it? But that's just the way it is. You can't help but be affected by it. And so here's Adam and Eve, and suddenly the great reality of what their sin has done, and kind of the beginning of seeing the ramifications of it. Here are animals that have been slain in order for them to be covered. Now, the fig leaves, though they were real, they symbolized man's attempt to cover his own sin and to put forth his own efforts as a means of acceptance with God. So, of course, these are historical things. This is literally what happened in the garden. But there's spiritual lessons here as well. And so the fig leaves, yes, they were real fig leaves. But they were symbolic. And there's a deeper lesson here, one that's not limited just to the situation in the garden, but one that is actually going to work itself out all throughout time. And it's the picture of man attempting to justify himself versus God's means of justifying man, or accepting God's means of justifying man. So man covers himself in fig leaves. Essentially, when God provides the tunics, what he's saying to man is, the fig leaves, they're not adequate. They don't cover. They're insufficient. They won't work. And so God is going to provide something for them that truly does cover them. Now, the tunics that God provided they show us two things. Number one, they show us that sin must be atoned by the shedding of innocent blood. Sin must be atoned by the shedding of innocent blood, or to put it in strictly biblical terms, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, all throughout history, up until this very day, most people all over the world, and Israel especially, had a concept that there must be sacrifice for sin. Our present humanistic, secular generation is perhaps the first generation in all of history that has rejected that idea totally. But all throughout history, in every culture, there was an understanding that God had been offended, and of course, depending on where you were at, the view of God varied. But God, or the gods, however they understood it, the gods had been offended, and there was need of a sacrifice. There was need of atonement to get right with God. Now, what you found throughout all of the various cultures and religions were corruptions of what was true. And what was true began right here in the earliest stages of human history. And the true model of it, or the true version of it, was passed on through this redemptive line. And so when we come to Israel, remember, one of the main features of the Mosaic system was the sacrificial element. There was a tabernacle, there was a priesthood, and there were offerings that had to be offered continually, consistently. And it was all due to the fact of sin, and it was all there to, for the time being, cover for sin, but it was all there to be speaking to the people, reminding them of the necessity of atonement and of blood making atonement. And even today, if you get outside of our culture, the Western humanistic culture that we live in, you will find that still many, if not most people outside, if they haven't embraced some Western humanistic ideology, they're still thinking in those kinds of terms. They're still thinking in terms of a sacrifice. This has just been ingrained in the mind of man intentionally by God. So this ingraining process began here with the provision of these tunics. And so first of all, God showed that sin must be atoned by the shedding of innocent blood. And secondly, that acceptance with God is based on his terms and not ours. Now, that's probably one of the most rejected ideas today in our culture. Because as a people, we want everything on our own terms. And we take that all the way out to the things of the Spirit, and we take it all the way out to a relationship with God. And so we have the distorted idea that we're going to dictate to God how things are going to be done. We're going to lay down the rules. We're going to set the standard, and God's going to comply with whatever we decide about how we're going to worship him or approach him or something like that. Now, needless to say to you, that is a huge delusion. We know that, right? Because God doesn't conform to our will, our way, what we think is best. God has set his standard, and it is inflexible. It doesn't change. It can't possibly change. And we see here that acceptance with God is based on his terms, and his terms always include death and the shedding of blood, because the wages of sin is death. So there has to be death and the shedding of blood in order for reconciliation to take place. Now, in the last analysis, there are really only two religions. There are really only two religions. Now, if you've been to a comparative religion course, maybe over at the college, you're saying, now, wait a second, Brian, I know there are more than two religions. I've studied several of them. But here's the truth about that. When you take all of the religions in the world and you boil them down to the essentials, to the real essence of what is, you know, being communicated in a particular religion, you find that every religion in the world, regardless of where it originated or what the variables are, you find that they all have the same essential components. And the one chief feature of every single religion on the planet, with the exception of biblical Christianity, is the feature of acceptance with God, or salvation, or however they describe it. It is accomplished through the works, the efforts, the merits of the individual. And so in the last analysis, there are really only two religions. Whatever nation, tribe, place, or period of history you consider, you find that there are these two religions. There's the religion of fig leaves, which is the religion of works. The other is the religion of skins, the religion of God's provision through the death of Christ. I love to point that out to people. And I think it's a powerful testimony. I was hoping to, and I just found out today that they shot us down. We were going to do a presentation over at one of the colleges on the uniqueness of the Christian faith. Last year, I was able to go over to one of the colleges, and we were able to do a presentation on the uniqueness of Christ. And so some of them said, hey, why don't you come back this year? And so we just presented to the philosophy department that this is what we'd like to do, and they decided, no, we don't want you to come and do it. So we'll figure out something else to do. But you know, what I wanted to go and present to them was this very idea about the uniqueness of the Christian faith. Because as I'm saying, all of the other religions have several things in common, but I think the common denominator, the one consistency all the way through, is that it is a religion of fig leaves. It is a religion of works. It is a religion of what you can do in order to obtain acceptance with God, of what you can do in order to obtain God's favor. But when it comes to the Christian faith, and notice a moment ago I used the term biblical Christianity, and you know, we need to do that today, because unfortunately there's a lot of Christianity out there that isn't biblical.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Clothed by God, and the resource number is B0017. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.